Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Brian Artis. This is the Dr. Artis Show, and I'm very excited and thrilled to be spending time with you today. Thank you for hanging out with us, and I hope you enjoy this presentation. Just so you know, this whole presentation and podcast is about dental health. You know, you got teeth. You only have one set of adult teeth that you get to keep for life or lose and replace and have artificial implants, you name it. But this is about things that can go wrong in the dental profession and what are some natural solutions to prevent early decay, loss, cavities, erosion, plaquing, you name it. We're going to dive into all things dental today. This is going to be exciting. I hope you're ready. And remember, if this applies to you, just so you know, there's millions, almost half of the entire world's population, they say, deals with periodontal disease like gingivitis and other stuff. And then millions and millions of people around the world every year have cavities. So this most likely applies to you. You might want to know how to keep your teeth, how to keep them healthy, how to reduce your need for dental appointments, and what practices when you go to your dentist you might want to avoid or open a dialogue with your attending physician after this presentation. And if there's anything you learn here today, I hope you'll share this podcast, the link, go to the resources tab at the Dr. Artis Show, download this entire PowerPoint, go share it with your loved ones, or you yourself review it and do your own research and see if you'd like to take the opportunity to start applying some of these things that medical science has already proven are antidotes and natural solutions that we've known about for decades to keep your teeth as healthy as possible for as long as possible. So here we go. We're going to dive into all things dentistry. We're excited that you're here. Thanks for hanging out. Let's show you on the screen here. There's our PowerPoint, toxic dental practices to avoid. We're also going to dive into natural antidotes to keep your teeth as healthy as possible. But everybody, I hope you enjoy the ride. Remember, you can get this entire PowerPoint for free. You scan this QR code right now, put in your email if you don't have access to our stuff already. If you're not being notified weekly about the next topic, where I'm speaking, what we're doing, what we're working on, and what we're up to, this is how you stay in touch with us. Scan that QR code, put in your email. But remember, at the resources tab at the Dr. Artis Show, is this PowerPoint you're about to hear, you're about to see, that I'm going to walk you through. The whole thing can be downloaded for free and shared via email, download it to your phone, your computer, you name it. But then also go to the Dr. Artis Show and share the link to this podcast if you want to hear me walk you through all the research we've put together here. All right, here's dental facts and statistics. Let's make sure you know all this. Oral health is critical to general well-being, according to the CDC. This is according to Forbes.com. The most common oral health conditions include cavities, gum disease, tooth loss, and oral cancer. About 90% of you, if you're in the United States, 90% of you, including all U.S. adults 20 years and older, have experienced at least one cavity in their life. And nearly 42% of adults, which I mentioned early on the intro of the show, over half of adults almost, or at half, have periodontal gum diseases. What are some of the most common dental issues? According to Forbes, oral disease impacts nearly 3.5 billion people worldwide. Well, for perspective, there's only 8 billion people on the planet, so you're looking at almost half of them. Some of the most common dental issues include gum disease and tooth decay. The World Health Organization estimates that approximately 2 billion adults experience cavities and permanent teeth, while 514 million children experience primary baby teeth cavities. That's a lot. 514 million children. Did you know vitamin D deficiency during pregnancy is the number one cause for cavities in babies? 514 million children. If the mom, while pregnant, would have just made sure they're out in the sun or supplementing with vitamin D, vitamin D3? You can prevent all of these cavities and 500 million children around the world. You're about to learn that. There's a highlight for you. As of 2020, 13% of U.S. adults 65 and older have lost all of their teeth because of tooth decay or gum disease. That was a shocking statistic in putting this together. 13.3% of all adults 65 years and older have lost all of their teeth. All right. You might want to pay attention to the rest of this. If you want your teeth, I don't care how old you are, but you're not 65 yet. If you want to keep your teeth when you're older, you don't want to have to be popping in and out of your dentures and putting them in whatever, Alka-Seltzer, clean them for the rest of your life. Please pay attention to this. How many people have cavities? According to Forbes, Tooth decay, also known as cavities, are more common than people think they are. In fact, over 90% of adults over 20 have experienced a cavity. 82% of individuals have experienced at least one cavity by age 34 years old. Among children 6 to 8, more than half of them, 52%, have had a cavity already in at least one of their baby teeth. Vitamin D, everybody. Half of adolescents, 12 to 19, 57% of them have had cavities in at least one of their permanent teeth. Cavities, they are often left untreated. A quarter of adults aged 20 to 64 have at least one untreated cavity still to this day, and nearly 11% of all children ages 2 to 5 have untreated cavities. Now, how common is periodontal disease? Peri is Latin for around the mouth diseases. Also known as gum disease, is an overarching term for conditions like gingivitis and periodontitis, which involves inflammation or infection of the tissue surrounding the teeth. It is the leading cause of tooth loss among adults. Approximately 47% of adults age 30 and older have some form of periodontal disease. That number jumps to 70% for adults 65 years and older, according to Forbes, in a 2013 report that came from the CDC. While most people experience gum disease at some point in their lives, called periodontal disease, the condition is more common in these individuals older than 30. Men more commonly experience periodontal disease. 56% of all people with them are men, 38% are women. Now, if you do the math there and add those two numbers together, that doesn't give you 100%. I'm kind of curious, what do they call the other people? What's the other percentage representative of? I mean, there's only men and women, so the two totals should get you up to 100%. Okay. Individuals living below the federal poverty level, that 65% of those people represent the periodontal group. People with less than a high school education make up 67% of those with periodontal disease. Current smokers, 64% of them. So those are your risk factors, supposedly. That's so crazy. All right, CDC. Dental visits. Let's see who's visiting the dentist. Children in 2009 in America, 78% of children aged 2 to 17 went to a dental visit in the last year. In 2009, 78% of children aged 2 to 17. By the year 2018, it was 85%. So that's more children are going. It's great. Trending up. Adults, in 2009, it was 62% of all adults 18 to 64 had been to a dentist in the last year, and it's up 65.9%, that's 3% increase in 2018 for adults 18 to 64 going to the dentist. So we're seeing an upward trend. That's probably positive when you're looking at these statistics you're about to learn about. These are the most 11 most common general dentist practices or procedures. Number one, the dentist usually does teeth cleaning. That's pretty obvious. Then they do sealants and fluoride treatments. And we're just going to focus on the highlighted statements from these articles. Fluoride treatments help to prevent cavities by making the teeth more resistant to acid attacks. That is absolutely false, but that is exactly what the dentist will tell you. Dental bonding is a common procedure performed by a general dentist. It involves the use of a tooth-colored resin to improve the appearance of your teeth. Then you got root canal therapies. Root canal therapy is a dental procedure used to treat infection at the root of a tooth. The infected tissue is removed, and the interior of the tooth is cleaned and then supposedly sealed. Root canal therapy is typically recommended when the tooth cannot be saved with a filling or other less invasive treatment. Then you have dental crowns, bridges, and veneers. Dental crown is a tooth-shaped cap that is placed over a tooth, usually to restore its shape and size, strength, or appearance. Then you have gum reshaping or recontouring. This involves gently removing excess gum tissue to even out the gum line and give you a more symmetrical smile. Gum reshaping is usually done with a laser, which precisely removes the unwanted tissue while minimizing the bleeding. How some of these practices in dentistry can be toxic. Let's highlight some of these from Medical Science Monitor magazine, 2019. Awareness of the benefits and risks related to using fluoridated toothpaste among doctors. So they are going to ask dentists, ask non-dentists, what do you know about the benefits of fluoride? What do you know about the risks of fluoride in toothpaste? And these are the statistics. Most, about 60% of dentists, and 60% of non-dental doctors had concerns about fluoride toothpaste. Only 31% of dentists and 25% of non-dental doctors had a good understanding of the benefits and risks of use of fluoridated toothpaste in children under 3 years of age. To 49.4% of dentists and 73% of non-dental doctors did not understand the benefits and risk in children between 3 and 6 years old. 40% of dentists and 67% of non-dental doctors did not understand the risks and benefits in individuals, living in high fluoride areas, like high fluoridated water. Most dentists, 76%, and non-dental doctors, 87%, did not understand the benefits and risks of fluoride in pregnant women and toothpaste. So there's a lot of people don't know a lot about fluoride's benefits or its risks. Researcher named Wright reported that improper use of fluoride toothpaste can lead to fluorosis if the total fluoride intake exceeds the safe limit. Therefore, it was proposed that there were certain risks in the use of fluoridated toothpaste in children. Fluoride intake can induce serious adverse effects on the intelligence and physical development of children. Pause there. How many of you know people who have said, "What are your dreams and aspirations for your children?" Have you ever heard them say, "I want them to be dumber, and I want them to be smaller, and I want them to be more physically inept"? Never. Or physically weak. Never. Fluoride intake can induce serious adverse effects on the intelligence of your children and physical development of children. Stop giving them fluoride toothpaste. Stop feeding them fluoridated water. You're about to learn more about that here. Therefore, the risk of using fluoride toothpaste outweighs the benefits in children under 3 years old. Okay. Well, under 3 years old has a brain. Older than 3 years old has a brain. You probably shouldn't put fluoride in brains of humans if you want them to be smart. Medical news today. What are the benefits and risks of using fluoride? From this article, and which has been fact-checked, 2025. Dental fluorosis. Exposure to high concentrations of fluoride, even in water, during childhood when teeth are developing, can result in mild dental fluorosis. Tiny little white streaks or specks will appear in the tooth enamel. Nursing infants or making up formula milk with fluoride-free water can help protect small children from fluorosis. Notice, they're like, for your babies, don't give them fluoride water, fluoridated tap water. No, give them fluoride-free water with their formula. It'll help protect them from fluorosis. Children under the age of 6 should not use a mouthwash that contains fluoride. And adults should also supervise children when brushing their teeth to ensure they do not swallow the toothpaste. Do you guys remember back in the day when I was little in the 80s, 70s, our toothpaste actually had every toothpaste with fluoride and it had a warning on the label. Call poison control if swallowed. Don't use more than a pea-sized amount. Okay, notice there's no fluoride toothpaste that has a poison control phone number to call if you swallow it. Where'd that go? Fluoride's been known to be toxic forever. This is medical news today. All right, skeletal fluorosis. All of your bones in your skeleton. Excess exposure to fluoride can lead to a bone disease known as skeletal fluorosis. This can result in pain and damage to bones and joints. The bones may become hardened and less elastic, increasing the risk of fractures. This can contribute to impaired joint motility. Okay, Medicare people, age people, senior citizens, please listen to me. What's the threat you have the most? You hear the term falling and breaking your hip? No, it's you break your hip, then you fall. Why? Because your bones are more rigid or hard. Fluoride in your water, if you're drinking tap water, showering in tap water, using fluoride toothpaste, did you know fluoride in water? Toothpaste is known to create hardening of your bones, increasing your risk of fractures. When your dentist recommends fluoride toothpaste, ask them, are you saying that skeletal fractures are right for me, dentist? I see your toothpaste has fluoride you're recommending. Dr. Artis recommends avoiding poisons, period. I just don't see the benefit. Neurological problems. Exposure to fluoride could lead to issues with brain outcomes in the future. High levels of fluoride exposure is linked to lower IQs in children, with children who consistently drank fluoridated water. having a lower IQ score than those who did not. Now, I've already done many shows and interviews about this concern. This is why a lot of cities in America are banning fluoride added to their water now, because of the IQ numbers coming out of Asia. Notice America didn't do that research. Asians did, because they care more about their citizens. Fluoride poisoning. High-level exposure to fluoride can lead to these things: abdominal pain, excessive saliva, nausea and vomiting, seizures, and muscle spasms. Seizures, anybody? Potential, this is basic medical science. This is the Iranian Journal of Basic Medical Science Research Journal. Potential fluoride toxicity from oral medication. Medicates. The possible mechanisms of fluoride toxicity are these. Ready to know? When someone says fluoride's right for you in your water and in your toothpaste, just rattle off these things. As fluoride comes in contact with moisture, this results in the formation of hydrofluoric acid, and this acid formation results in burning of tissues due to low pH. How else does fluoride create toxicity? B, inhibition of nerve impulses or nerve function. Anybody out there thinking, I wish my nerves worked less often? Fluoride leading to hypocalcemia, lower levels of calcium, ultimately results in inhibition of physiological nerve functioning. Would you like brain fog, dementia, gait issues, can't walk? Would you like seizures, tremors? If you do, fluoride's right for you. If you wish, you could be a part of stammering, tremors, and gait problems with Parkinson's support groups on Facebook. Fluoride is right for you if you want to join those support groups because you don't have any friends. I just want to join a support group, and I want to poison myself to be diagnosed with a condition that allows me to join those support groups on Facebook. Fluoride is right for you. Cellular poisoning results due to inhibition of enzymes required for the physiological function of your cells in your body. D, hypokalemia, low calcium, and hyperkalemia, high calcium, results in electrolyte imbalance and eventually results in disturbances in cardiac rhythm. That hyperkalemia, by the way, these are also tied to your potassium levels. E, fluoride attacks oxygen and disrupts the metabolism, resulting in the production of hydrogen peroxide as a byproduct. In addition, fluoride results in excessive production of free radicals that disrupt the antioxidant formation. And for summarizing in this NIH-sponsored medical research study about the toxic effects of fluoride, they gave you a summary graphic here. The effects of fluoride toxicity. There are acute effects, right now effects that happen right now when you're brushing your teeth with fluoride, today, right now, within an hour. Chronic effects or long-term issues. Look at the list. Sudden use of fluoride, exposure to fluoride from water, drinking water, going to your dentist, getting toothpaste, nausea, vomiting, hypocalcemia, tetany, especially of the hands and feet. That's not good. That's the motor function. Hypotension, hypersalivation, hyper mucus in your mouth. Mixed metabolic and respiratory acidosis due to failure of your lungs and kidney systems. That's acute issues with fluoride. Coma and convulsions leading to death is an acute effect of fluoride in toothpaste and water. I quote from a medical research study that has been peer-reviewed by peers in the medical profession and published in medical journals. Acute effects of fluoride in your water and toothpaste is known to have coma and convulsions leading to death as an acute side effect. Now, let's look at the chronic effects if death and coma is not weird enough and alarming enough. What are the long-term effects of brushing your teeth with fluoride and drinking fluoride water from your tap and not following our home-brewed holy water recommendations from Healing for the Ages? Dental fluorosis, skeletal fluorosis, fracturing of cavities and bones in your body, hypersensitivity reaction, dyspepsia, gastric irritation, acid reflux, insufficiency of your kidneys, which will lead to high blood pressure. You will be on Lasix and diuretics. That is a known published long-term side effect of fluoride in water. And when you've been put on diuretics to make your kidneys urinate, to lower your blood pressure, everybody listening at home, when your cardiologist recommended that to you, did they tell you, be sure to stop drinking your tap water with that fluoride in it? And stop using fluoride toothpaste. Did they tell you that? If they didn't, I'm sorry. You should fire them. Numbness and muscular spasms. Any tremors, anybody? Or seizures? Birth defects and cancer. Oh, ask your dentist when they provide and recommend fluoride toothpaste. If birth defects for your unborn children or cancer is right for you. Acute fluoride poisoning, although occasionally reported, however, may be fatal. This is a medical research study on the NIH's website, everybody. Look at below the graphic. You'll see ncbi.nim.nih.gov. That's our NIH government, National Institutes of Health. Acute exposure to fluoride can be fatal. Wow. Now let's check this out. NAF, sodium fluoride, is more toxic. A form of fluoride is more toxic as it is more soluble, meaning in water, dissolved in water, and releases more amounts of fluoride compared to calcium fluoride that is less dissolvable in water. Stay with me, everybody. Read the first one there in the middle of the screen. Sodium fluoride, NAF fluoride, is more toxic as it is more soluble and releases more amounts of toxic, deadly, coma, seizure-causing, cancer-causing, birth defect-causing fluoride. Is sodium fluoride is more toxic than calcium fluoride. Check out this highlight. We wanted to know, what are the most common fluoride types they put in toothpaste? Sodium fluoride, NAF, the classic and most common active ingredient used for preventing tooth decay by strengthening enamel, is the form of fluoride they put in your toothpaste, your child's toothpaste. And I want to quote for all of you at home. The most common form of fluoride added to your toothpaste for you and your children by your dentist and recommended by dentists everywhere is, quote, in medical research, more toxic form of fluoride as it is more soluble and releases more amounts of toxic deadly fluoride than calcium fluoride. Aren't you glad you watched the Dr. Artist Show? In the case of acute fluoride toxicity, one or more combination of the following symptoms. This is what you'll notice. Gastric diarrhea, nausea, vomiting, occasionally with blood, abdominal pain, diarrhea, weakness, and hypocalcemia. In addition, hypotension, low blood pressure, bronchospasm, which is an asthma attack, fixed and dilated pupils, and hyperkalemia, potassium, are also linked with fluoride toxicity, which may result in ventricular arrhythmias, heart arrhythmias from acute exposure to toothpaste with fluoride, drinking water with fluoride, and cardiac arrest. Ask your dentist if cardiac arrest is right for you or your child when they recommend fluoride toothpaste and tell you, stop trying to get your city council to remove fluoride from water. It's good for you. No, it isn't. Loss of body fluid contributes to an electrolyte imbalance, a state of hypovolemic shock, and decreased blood pressure. Acute fluoride poisoning may induce some individuals a polyuria resembling diabetes insipidus, which may persist for days to months. In a few instances, the acute polyuric renal failure, kidney failure, has terminated fatally. The patients died from their kidney failure from fluoride. A progressive mixed metabolic and respiratory acidosis may develop because of the failure of your kidneys and lung systems, coma, and convulsions terminating in death. These are not statements or claims about long-term use of fluoride. This is acute toxic effects of fluoride. And then I'd like to ask you, since the medical profession knows this and has published this, why in the world would anybody, even medically or dentally, encourage citizens of the United States to add fluoride to your drinking water for all children and adults? The association between excessive ingestion of fluoride and dental modeling, fluorosis, was initially discovered over a century ago by Frederick Sumner McKay. What? They've known this for over 100 years. Dental fluorosis is the most sensitive and the earliest indicator of chronic fluoride toxicity. Fluoride impedes normal enamel maturation, and dental enamel formed is hypomineralized, lower mineralized, meaning easier to fracture, get dental infections, break cavities, with more surface and subsurface porosity in comparison with normal enamel. When it comes to dentine, in dentine, due to excessive fluoride during dentine formation, The dentinal tubules have an irregular distribution, and the lumen of the tubules become narrow and disrupted. And what does that do? That's going to lead to the appearance ranges from mild opaque white to brown mottling of enamel, brown spots and white spots associated with pits in your teeth, and enamel fracture in both deciduous and permanent dentations. Dental fluorosis not only depends on excessive consumption of fluoride. You can only get this if you're just consuming fluoride all the time. It's in your city water and your toothpaste. You're told to brush your teeth twice a day, every day. So the more exposure, the more you're going to have this happen, but also on the timing and duration of excessive fluoride consumption, the blood level concentration of fluoride, the type of fluoride used, which I just showed you is the most common one, the most toxic form in toothpaste, renal function, and genetic factors, they say all play a role. Well, that's fluoride for all of you. Stop using fluoride. It's ridiculous. But doc, isn't just a little bit of poison good for my child? Yeah, if you want them to be a little bit dumber. It's already proved that their IQ goes down every year that they use fluoride toothpaste and fluoride water. In SamaritanMinistries.org, this is a review of what's called the root canal cover-up. I used to have every patient in my office read the root canal cover-up. When they tell me, my dentist says I should get a root canal, and I'd go, don't you dare do that. Ever, ever, ever. Dr. Artis said, don't do that. Ever. I'm saying that to you too right now. Watch it. I do not recommend a root canal ever. My wife, Jane, that a lot of people have met when we started dating 15 years ago from the time of this recording, I told her if we're going to date, you cannot maintain the root canals that you have in your mouth from before when I met you. You have to take those out because I don't want to be married to somebody or dating somebody who's going to have long-term autoimmune concerns in the future from the root canal. So here's what I would share with patients, what's called the root canal cover-up, and this is a summary done at SamaritanMinistries.org. A rabbit exposed the problem. If you ever heard of Weston A. Price Foundation, it was started by Dr. Weston A. Price. This was based on his work. One day in the early 1900s, Dr. Price was treating a woman with severe arthritis who had been confined to a wheelchair for 6 years. At that time, it was common practice to take bacterial cultures from the patients who were ill, inoculate them into animals, take that infection and put it in animals in an effort to reproduce the disease and test the effectiveness of drugs on the disease in the animal. Even though her root canal, the patient, looked normal on x-rays and showed no sign of infection, Dr. Price advised her to have it removed. Now remember, at the top, she was being treated for arthritis. That's why she was coming to Dr. Price. My joints hurt all in my body. And he's like, I think you should get that root canal out, even though it looks normal. After extracting the tooth, he sewed it under the skin of a rabbit. He took the root canal out of the woman's mouth with arthritis and sewed it into the skin of a rabbit. And in 10 days, that rabbit developed the same crippling arthritis as the patient, and the rabbit died from the infection. The woman, on the other hand, made a successful recovery from arthritis. Dr. Price was fortunate enough to have a team of 60 of the nation's top doctors. They published the results of thousands of tooth extraction, removal, and animal inoculation experiments, taking those tooth they extracted and putting them in animals, finding that in almost every case, the animals developed the exact same disease as the person they took the tooth from. And most of those animals died of the infection from the root canal tooth put in the animal's body. That animal died from the infection of that tooth in 3 to 12 days. These were the implications from this research of Dr. Price. Contrary to the conventional wisdom that root canal teeth are sanitized and safe, this is contrary to what your dentist will tell you. This research indicated that they were actually a good place for bacteria to take up residence in the root canal tooth, mutate into a nasty strain, and then hitch a ride through the bloodstream into other parts of the body. The local infection theory posits that a local infection affecting a small area of the body can lead to subsequent infections in other parts of the body due either to their spread of the infectious agent itself or toxins being produced by the infection. Minning, a researcher, describes what Price's research found. Quote, if the patient had kidney trouble, for example, the patient, the rabbit that they put the tooth in from, the kidney failure patient, they would put that tooth into a rabbit, the rabbit would develop kidney disease. If the patient had eye problems, the rabbit's eyes would fail. Heart trouble, rheumatism, stomach ulcers, bladder infections, ovarian diseases, phlebitis, osteomyelitis, whatever the disease, the rabbit promptly became similarly infected. Because the immune system of most rabbits is poor, they died within 2 weeks. And supposedly, these are sanitized, sealed, non-infected root canals. There's no infection in them. They're totally sealed. They're totally safe, is what your dentist will tell you. They would take that tooth out, put it in an animal, and the animal would get the exact same disease, same infection, and they would die. According to Minig, this team of doctors showed, quote, how the bacteria in teeth act like a cancer cell that metastasizes to other parts of the body. Ask your doctor if metastasizing cancer is right for you when they recommend a root canal. I have other reasons why I think root canals are completely dumb. Like super dumb, but I won't dive into that here. Read the root canal cover up. Minning continues, these bacteria inside the structure of the teeth similarly metastasize, and as they migrate through one's bodies, they infect the heart, your kidneys, joints, nervous system, your brain, endanger pregnant women, and in fact may infect an organ gland or body tissue. In other words, root canal teeth almost always remain infected. I repeat, root canal teeth always remain infected. Even worse, these infections are responsible for a high percentage of the degenerative disease-like illnesses, which are epidemic in our country today. Here's what the root canals come in. After a tooth decays to a certain extent and fillings aren't going to stop the decay, a root canal is performed. The tooth is cut off, the center pulp and nerves are removed, and a supposedly sterile filler is inserted. But Dr. Weston A. Price and others contended that a root canal cannot prevent bacteria from inhabiting the tubules, which no longer have fluid inside of them. Dr. Price and others were able to verify which types of bacteria are left in the teeth. The most common is strep, and that they quickly became anaerobic, meaning the bacteria didn't even need oxygen to live. Furthermore, Price's experiment showed that almost nothing can kill the bacteria in the teeth, except for extremely harsh drugs that can't be used in the mouth. After decades of research, they were able to indicate that there is no such thing as an uninfected root canal. And I 100% back up that claim. So now we've gone through fluoride treatment with toothpaste and water. Now we've looked at root canals. Now we're looking at silver toxicity, not mercury, silver. What causes silver toxicity? There are many products that contain silver compounds. These include things like batteries, medicine, mirrors, jewelry, electronic parts, dental fillings, money, and even acupuncture needles. Silver is also used, according to mdsearchlight.com. Check this out. Silver is also used for lubrication and in weather modification. Hold up. I thought weather modification was a conspiracy tinfoil hat thing. I didn't know that was real. Silver is used in weather modification. Well, if the medical research is publishing it, I guess it's not just a conspiracy. We are controlling the weather. Recently, silver in ionic and nanoparticulate form has been seen more use in medical and commercial products. Most of these products claim to have 10 to 30 milligrams per liter of silver. The World Health Organization states a reference dose of 6.5 micrograms per 2.2 pounds of body weight per day for exposure to silver, that's the most you should ever have. This is based on when people develop argyria. Argyria is where the entire body turns blue from silver poisoning. Oral toxicity of silver ions, little particles of silver, silver nanoparticles, and colloidal silver from the Regulatory Toxicology and Pharmacology Medical Journal. What did they find? Orally administered silver has been described to be absorbed in a range going from 0.4 to 18% in mammals, with a human value at 18%. So 18% of silver that we swallow in our mouth will get absorbed into our bloodstream. Based on findings in animals, silver seems to be distributed to all the organs investigated, with the highest levels being observed in the intestine and in your stomach. The following dose-dependent animal toxicity findings have been reported: death from silver, weight loss, hypoactivity, altered neurotransmitter levels, Tourette's, seizures, you name it, autism, altered liver enzymes, altered blood values, enlarged hearts, congestive heart failure, and immunological effects. What does Dr. Artis recommend for oral health outside of silver, fluoride, and root canals, which is all you're ever going to see? Well, let's dive into the natural stuff because this is exciting. How many of you have ever been to a dentist, taking your kid to a dentist? They're like, how is there so much plaque in your mouth? Did you know propolis dissolves plaque in the mouth? You're about to learn about it. All right. It's one of the things dentists want to use fluoride for to clean up your mouth. All right. Applications of propolis in dentistry. Propolis for surgical wound healing. Now, remember, we're talking about dental stuff here, but watch the highlights of propolis from bees. Carvalho and Magro, these two researchers in their study, asked patients to rinse their mouth with propolis after tooth extraction to assess its effectiveness for protecting improving alveolar socket wound healing. You take out the tooth, there's a hole in the jaw. They want to see if propolis was effective in speeding up the wound healing. Above this sentence highlighted, they were asked to come back every 7 days, 14 days, 30 days, and 40 days after the surgery. The results showed that the mouthwash with propolis enhanced wound healing and showed anti-inflammatory and analgesic properties, reduced pain. Researchers Al-Shaha compared the viability of PDL and dental, we'll show you what that means here in just a minute, and dental pup fibroblast exposed to propolis and calcium hydroxide powder in a lab. The cells were exposed to various concentrations of propolis from 0 to 20 milligrams. The results showed that 75% of periodontal disease and dental pulp fibrosis exposed to 4 milligrams per milliliter or lower concentrations of propolis remained viable. Amazing. In contrast, when they used calcium hydroxide, 4 milligrams per milliliter, that was cytotoxic for cells. It killed the cells in the teeth. And less than 25% of cells exposed to this concentration survived. 75% plus dental cells died. But not in the propolis group. Propolis as intracanal medicine on KEG, Etal, assessed their team, assessed the efficacy of 3 intracanal, root canal, imagine the canal, 3 intracanal medicines and propolis against an infection of bacteria commonly found in root canals and others, E. faecalis, and reported that propolis as a medicine prevented the growth and proliferation size of E. faecalis and had suitable antibacterial efficacy. All by itself, bee pollen and propolis from bees was proven to be effective at killing and removing the bacteria causing dental caries, which is a term for infections, cavities, and intracanal infections. Another researcher and his team compared propolis and calcium hydroxide as intracanal medicine and showed that propolis was an effective intracanal medicine and quickly eliminated the bacteria called E. faecalis. How many dentists out there do you think are looking in your mouth, seeing an infection, doing a root canal and saying, assistant, please go get the propolis and let's inject organic propolis from beehives into the tooth canal to prevent infection. Well, they should be. And if they're not, you should tell your dentist, your favorite dentist, to watch the Dr. Artis show. Resende and his team evaluated the antimicrobial activity of two paste containing propolis and calcium hydroxide against polymicrobial cultures. Poly means many microbial cultures, taken from the root canals of 16 necrotic primary molars. So 16 root canal teeth. And they want to see what does these two pastes made of propolis and calcium hydroxide. The results showed that antimicrobial activity of the latter paste, which was calcium hydroxide, was higher than the former paste. They concluded the combination of propolis and calcium hydroxide is effective to control dental infections. Ask your doctor if propolis is right for you. In comparison, this is a propolis with other mouthwashes. Ozon and his team described the efficacy of different concentrations of propolis solutions and 0.2% of chlorhexidine in the control group against mouth infections and their effects on human gingivitis, gingival fibroblast. They used propolis mouthwash in 1, 2.5, 5, and 10% concentrations, propolis. What did they find? Propolis is used to maintain oral health and prevent caries due to its antibiotic and anti-plaque properties. Propolis mouthwash can be swallowed to further benefit from it. Bring it on. Propolis for the treatment of dentine hypersensitivity. Anybody got tooth pain out there? Muhammad and his team evaluated the effect of propolis on pain in the teeth. Using electron microscopes, they noticed that propolis obstructed, filled in the dental tubes. Madhaven and his team compared the clinical efficacy of casein phosphopeptide, amorphous calcium phosphate fluoride, sodium fluoride, propolis, and distilled water as placebo. After 8 days, 60 days, and 3 months of use, propolis was the best material for treatment of tooth pain. Wow. Notice they compared propolis to two different forms of fluoride. Propolis was the most effective. Propolis as a pulp capping agent for all you dentists and dental students. The effectiveness of propolis was due to its resinous and adhesive properties. Since it seals the dentinal tubules and has anti-inflammatory properties that decrease pulpal inflammation. A study by Saber and his team described dental pulp responses of rats to direct pulp capping with propolis. The results revealed that dental pulp capping with propolis flavonoids in rats postponed pulpal inflammation and induced dentine regeneration. Anybody out there being told you can't regrow tooth, bone, enamel, dentine? No, you can't regrow that. Did you know it's already been proven in animal studies that propolis does it? Induced dentine regeneration. Propolis for the treatment of periodontitis. Koo and his team evaluated the efficacy of a mouthwash containing propolis on dental plaque accumulation in just 3 days. I mentioned this earlier already. Propolis mouthwash effectively decreased plaque index and insoluble polysaccharides by 61% in 3 days. Just putting propolis in your mouth decreased the amount of plaque in their mouth by 61%. Ask your dentist when they say you need a sonic boom toothbrush to scrape all that fluoride out. What if you just took propolis? Hadaka and their team evaluated the preventative effect of propolis on the conversion of non-crystal calcium phosphate, which plays a role in calculus formation, to hydroxyapatite. And what did they find? They found that the anti-plaque and anti-inflammatory effects of propolis and its efficacy in formation of alveolar bone, mandible bone, it seems that propolis can be used for the treatment of periodontal disease. How many dentists do you think are recommending propolis for periodontal diseases? Nobody. You know what I see? Propolis helps with dental pain. You know what they promote on television 24/7 to everybody? Sensodyne toothpaste for tooth sensitivity. Propolis was more effective than anything, including Sensodyne, that has fluoride in it. All right. Now, this is another benefit of propolis. Researcher Samet and his team evaluated the effect of propolis tablets on the occurrence and number of reoccurring aphthous ulcers on the mouth. The patients were blinded to the type of drug used. The control group received a placebo, while the test group received one 500 milligram capsule of propolis every day. That was it, one capsule of propolis. The results showed a reduction in the occurrence of ulcers in the propolis group, mouth ulcers, which was statistically significant, a big deal in the study. Patients using propolis also gave a personal report regarding the reoccurrence of lesions, which revealed that propolis decreased the reoccurrence of ulcers and improved the quality of life of the patients. Ask your doctor if propolis is right for you, because it is. All right, so that's propolis. You might be wondering, where am I going to get propolis? Well, the Dr. Artist Show actually has organic propolis from Brazil in our sore throat sprays every day, and I use it every single day. I brush my teeth and I spray propolis in my mouth, my sore throat sprays. You should be doing that too. Kids will love it too. There's kids flavors. We'll show you those here in a minute. All right, so what else do I recommend for dental health? This is from Springer Natural Medical Online Journal. Dental caries, tooth infections in children, and vitamin D deficiency. A link. Primary teeth, your baby teeth, begin their formation as early as 6 weeks in the embryonic stage of life in the uterus and the development and maturity of the enamel and dentine begins during the second trimester of pregnancy and continues after the child's birth. Vitamin D induces in the uterus mineralization of the tooth, dentine, and enamel in your baby. Therefore, vitamin D has a significant role in forming oral hard tissue, teeth, and bone, comprising tooth enamel and dentine. And a deficiency in vitamin D may affect primary and permanent teeth, adult teeth development in your child. There is evidence that vitamin D deficiency during pregnancy affects the formation and mineralization of primary teeth, baby teeth, and results in developmental defects, such as dentine, hypomineralization, low mineralization of the dentine, and enamel hypoplasia. You don't form enough enamel. And or hypomineralization in the offspring, which affects the teeth and the bone. Deteriorated enamel has been related to caries risk in cohort studies. In addition, a recent randomized clinical trial has shown that high-dose vitamin D supplementation during pregnancy, not low-dose, high-dose pregnancy dose of vitamin D supplemented from pregnancy week 24 weeks to 1 week postpartum was linked to a lower risk of enamel defects in your offspring. Moms, developing babies in your womb, what you put in your body affects your child's health after it's born. This suggests that prenatal supplementation before you're pregnant, before you give birth, this suggests that prenatal supplementation while you're pregnant, take high doses of vitamin D, appears to constitute a preventative intervention to reduce the prevalence of enamel defects and consequently the risk of childhood dental infections. Clinical studies on the saliva in school children have found that the concentration of a substance called cathelicidin in saliva in patients with vitamin D deficiency was significantly lower compared to patients with normal vitamin D status. So what is this cathelicidin? You're about to learn. Caries-free children, dental infection-free children had significantly higher levels of cathelicidin in comparison with children with dental caries. Kids with dental problems had less cathelicidin, which helped to prevent any dental problems in children. It means the optimization of organic levels of vitamin D could contribute to improve the innate antibacterial defense and or resistance against dental infections. Cathelicidin that you saw up top, which vitamin D requires to keep a high level of that, that kills off the dental infections that cause cavities and problems in your teeth and root canals. You need vitamin D to create cathelicidin to help fight infections in your mouth for you and your children. Experimental studies have shown that fluid and electrolyte secretion from your salivary glands, saliva in your mouth, is directly dependent on vitamin D levels. In fact, vitamin D deficiency decreases. Look at this. Sjogren's, anybody? I have dry mouth. Dry mouth. Anybody? Anybody got dry mouth? In fact, vitamin D deficiency decreases saliva flow, and it alters composition by reducing the amount of calcium ions. How many people with Sjogren's are being told you need more vitamin D to make more saliva in your mouth? None of you. You're only going to get it here. I'll show you what the research has already been proven. Vitamin D deficiency causes a decrease in salivary flow, dry mouth people. So diminishing its buffering effect against organic acids, you'll become more acidic. Consequently, its protective role against caries. If you don't take vitamin D, you cannot fight the infections in your mouth. Salivary flow, the release of saliva in your mouth, is the natural vehicle for minerals necessary for continued tooth remineralization. And therefore, a deficiency of vitamin D would lead to a significant reduction of minerals in your saliva. This being ineffective to promote remineralization of your teeth to keep them strong and reverse your cavities and fractures, and consequently increasing the risk of all dental infections in the primary and or permanent dental teeth. Now on the screen, at the very middle, you'll see vitamin D deficiency may result in, and you see below there. It's just a highlight from the research study. in between vitamin D deficiency may result in. You'll see those six categories there of what it can directly cause. At the very bottom, you'll see it increases your risk for dental infections. So you can just look at there. That's just for your convenience. You can go study that all you want. All right. So in this medical journal, the called Nutrients, this is a study from 2024. The potential systemic role of diet in dental infections, periodontal disease, development, and arrest, how you turn them off with diet. And they first referenced Dr. Weston A. Price, which I love. Dr. Weston A. Price, a Canadian dentist and founder of the National Dental Association, was conducting observational research on this topic. Dr. Price traveled the world examining nutritional practices of different cultures. His primary interest was in facial structure development and factors contributing to tooth decay resistance among people who have low or no prevalence of dental infections. His research led him to discover a fat-soluble activator that we now know to be a form of vitamin K2, is what he discovered. His observations suggest that a consumption of foods rich in vitamin K2, such as grass-fed raw dairy, eggs, organ meats of animals, may have dental health benefits. Specifically, he observed that switching from traditional diets rich in calcium and phosphorus, as well as vitamins A, D, and K2, to modern diets results in physical degradation, including an increase in dental infections. In contrast, he found that people who followed their traditional diets were virtually free of all dental infections. Some of Dr. Price's most notable observations were those among Alaskan indigenous populations. In one settlement, he studied 12 individuals, and 10 of whom consumed exclusively or almost exclusively the traditional local food for Alaskan Eskimos. Of their 288 teeth, which he examined in total, only one tooth, which was 0.3% of all the teeth examined, was observed to have been affected by decay. Conversely, among the two individuals of the 12 who regularly consumed store-bought foods and wasn't eating the traditional high fish diet of the Eskimos, the other 10, 27% of the Eskimos now buying store-bought food, 27% of their teeth examined had dental infections. Among 88 people observed, 27 nearly exclusively consumed traditional food and had only one tooth among them out of a total of 796 teeth examined were affected by decay. That's 0.1%. Conversely, among the 40 people in this settlement who substituted entirely on a modern food diet brought in by the government supply ships, those people had 21% of their teeth examined had cavities. So if you want to reduce your cavities, you might want to eat local traditional foods, not store-bought processed foods. Among the 21 people who ate both traditional and store-bought foods, 38 of their 600 teeth examined, that 6% of their teeth had decay. Interestingly, the foods comprising the traditional diet of the Alaskan indigenous populations consisted largely of marine life, especially fish, seals, and whales, which are high in protein, fat, omega-3 fatty acids, and vitamin D, y'all, vitamin D. Dr. Price has also conducted experimental studies showing that fat-soluble vitamins A, D, and K2 may interact to protect and improve dental health. Foods high in vitamins A, D, and K2, consisting of adding a mixture of a half of a teaspoon of high vitamin cod liver oil, rich in vitamins A and D, and high vitamin butter oil, rich in vitamin K2, three times per day to meals, low in sugar and starches, he noted that this mixture was more effective than either cod liver oil or butter alone. Research shows that antioxidants may help to control free radicals in the hypothalamus. Oh, just a key point for the butter here. Did you know butter stimulates GLP-1 release? All of you out there thinking Ozempic and Wegovy is your only chances to stimulate GLP-1. Did you know butter does it? Did you know the sugar from the plant called allulose? Did you know allulose, a calorie-free sugar-sweetened plant extract, stimulates GLP-1 hormone release for 4 hours a dose? So if you did that three times a day, it's in our Hydrate Complete, by the way. If you drank that three times a day, every 4 hours, you'd have GLP-1 for the whole 12 to 16 hours you're awake, which burns fat, lowers blood sugar, helps you lose weight. That was my talk on butter. Now you lose. Research shows that antioxidants may help to control free radicals in the hypothalamus of the brain caused by blood sugar spikes. And vitamin K2 has been shown to have neurological antioxidant effects. Vitamin K2 consumption may also help to improve both tooth mineralization via its impacts on enzymatic expression. Vitamin K2 acts as a cofactor of enzyme vitamin K-dependent carboxylase, which can alter the structure of proteins via what's called gamma carboxylation. Vitamin K2 has been shown to improve gamma carboxylation of osteocalcin, a protein found in bones and teeth. Do you want to keep your teeth? Do you want to not have fractures of your teeth or your skeletal bones? Vitamin K2 is right for you. It's already been proven to do so. Now, this is the Journal of Steroid Biochemistry and Molecular Biology. Oral manifestations of magnesium. So mouth manifestations of magnesium and vitamin D inadequacy. For the first few years of COVID, I was called the magnesium doctor all over the place. People would go, oh, you're that famous magnesium doctor. I love magnesium, which is why I talk about magnesium so much. This is from the Journal of Steroid Biochemistry and Molecular Biology. Magnesium deficiency is common among adults and elderly populations. Number one, most of you are deficient in magnesium. Number two, underconsumption, not eating enough of foods with magnesium or supplementing, is widespread in the U.S. and beyond. Magnesium deficiency is associated with numerous chronic oral diseases. Does your dentist recommend magnesium to you? Do they even know this? Optimal intake of magnesium is essential for good oral health. Oh, so it's not just brushing your teeth twice a day and flossing? Nope, it's magnesium. Many studies have established a connection between diet and dental caries infections. Good nutrition is essential for fighting bacteria, maintaining tissue integrity, and repairing injured tissues. I just want everybody to know here, I did not know about magnesium's effectiveness against oral infections until doing this podcast and going through these research studies. I get more excited studying the health benefits of magnesium every time I dive into these studies. Many people are not aware that ultraviolet B light and vitamin D supplementation will produce more vitamin D, which also reduces dental caries. Well, there's your reference to vitamin D. Vitamin D supplementation can prevent dental infections onset and progression. That is why it's recommended vitamin D supplementation for children at risk for dental infections may decrease the overall prevalence of severe early childhood infections in the mouth. Researchers from Otago University in New Zealand have shown that magnesium, not calcium, magnesium contributes to reducing enamel infections. Cavities, anybody? Those authors studied 200 patients aged 5 to 56 years old, giving them an alkaline phosphate and monitored them for 3 years. All participants, all of them, showed reduced incidence of mouth infections. The extracted teeth of the case group had twice the amount of magnesium of the teeth of the control group, who did not receive magnesium. The investigators concluded that consuming magnesium contributed to reduced cavities. It ain't just brushing your teeth and flossing, y'all. You should be taking magnesium complex. Low dietary intake of magnesium has been associated with many pathologies, disease processes such as periodontitis and diabetes. A single blinded randomized study evaluated blood levels of magnesium in patients with type 2 diabetes and chronic periodontitis, inflammation of the mouth and diseases. Researchers evaluated how does the blood magnesium levels affect periodontal health before and 21 days after scaling and root planning. Serum magnesium levels were significantly decreased in patients with chronic periodontitis and diabetes. Early experimental and clinical studies have shown that when the calcium to magnesium ratio is low, as with magnesium supplementation, periodontitis can be prevented or slowed. What? Did you know magnesium could prevent periodontitis? I didn't know that. This is amazing. That result was evidenced by a study done by Meisel and colleagues on an adult population aged 40 or more years old. Serum magnesium levels were significantly associated with reduced probing death, less attachment loss. If you want to keep your teeth, you should have magnesium, and more remaining teeth. Remember the stat I just showed earlier at the beginning of this podcast? 13% of all adults in America have zero teeth left over 65 years old. 13% of all of them have no teeth whatsoever. If you want to keep your teeth, you should supplement magnesium. They found again that a magnesium-rich diet could improve periodontal health in that low bone mass characterized in the oral cavity, mandible jawbone, by the loss of crestal bone height and tooth loss may result from magnesium deficiency, accompanied by the stimulation of pro-inflammatory cytokines. The authors concluded that taking magnesium supplements could prevent tooth loss in the middle-aged and delay tooth loss in the elderly. Ask your dentist if magnesium is right for you. What are the effects of magnesium intake deficiency on bone metabolism and bone tissues around osteointegrated implants in your mouth? 30 rats received an implant. So a lot of people get implants. If there's 13% of all adults lose all their teeth, they have a lot of implants. All right, so this is why this is important. And rats, mice have the same genes you do. This is why all medical research is done on rats and mice first before they give those drugs to humans in trials. They say if it's going to happen in a mouse or a rat, it's going to happen in a human. 30 rats received an implant in the right tibial metaphysis after 60 days of healing of the implants. Control group received a standard diet with adequate magnesium content, while the test group, the magnesium group, received the same diet except for a 90% reduction of the amount of magnesium. That's in the test group. The results of this study were this. Magnesium dietary deficiency resulted in the decrease of the magnesium in the bloodstream and an increase of PTH and DPD. I'll show you that in a minute. The magnesium group also presented a loss, the magnesium group, that had a 90% less magnesium, also presented a loss of systemic bone mass, decreased cortical bone thickness outside of the bone, the strong part of the bone, and lower values of removal torque of the implants. So it took less torque to create an implant or sink it in there. You can't use as much torque, you'll break the jawbone. So what is PTH? Parathyroid hormone. And DPD is deoxypyridinoline. The conclusion of the study was this. The present study concluded that magnesium deficient diet has a negative influence on bone metabolism as well as on the bone tissue around your implants. This goes for all implants, y'all. Hip replacements, knee replacements, these are all implants. Implants in your mouth, they go into jawbone, that's bone. Magnesium deficiency influences how strong your bones are. Sage Journals. A very reputable medical online journal. Magnesium deficiency is associated with periodontal disease. An association between magnesium and periodontitis has been suggested by preliminary studies. In a matched pair study, 60 subjects using oral magnesium-containing drugs and 120 without were compared. In subjects aged 40 years old and older, increased blood levels of magnesium was significantly associated with reduced probing depth, less attachment loss, and a higher number of remaining teeth. Subjects taking magnesium drugs showed less attachment loss and more remaining teeth than did their matched counterparts. The impact of vitamin D deficiencies on oral manifestations in children, not just cavities, not just periodontal gum issues. No, this is all issues with the mouth. Cold sores, canker sores, you name it. This is from the Dentistry Journal. What's the impact of vitamin deficiencies in general? Well, they're going to highlight a few. The oral manifestations of vitamin A deficiency. Vitamin A deficiency, abbreviated VAD, is predominantly observed in infants and preschool-aged children, attributing to low vitamin A stores called retinol at birth and increased nutritional needs during rapid growth periods. They need more when they're growing really fast. Children suffering from vitamin A deficiency may exhibit symptoms like this: nighttime blindness, they don't see as well in the dark, keratomalacia, xerophthalmia, betot spots, and follicular hyperkeratosis, along with increased susceptibility to infections and nail fragility. Oral complications, which is what we want to highlight here, of vitamin A deficiency include oral keratotic changes and disorders of mucosal keratinization, as well as enamel and dentin anomalies, cavities, reduced enamel spots, leading to an increased risk of dental infections, enamel hypoplasia, and periodontitis. And there it is, keratotic lesions. extend along the sublingual mucosa and lateral edges of the ventricle part of your tongue. See it? Pretty. Eh? Vitamin A. Vitamin A deficiency can lead to fungal oral infections characterized by white soft plaques on the tongue. You stick out anybody's tongue, you see white on there? That's fungus. And vitamin A deficiency leads to that, complicating feeding and swallowing. Now let's highlight vitamin D deficiency and oral problems in children. Vitamin D deficiency is notably severe in infants. All pregnant women, you should be supplementing with vitamin D. You should have already learned that by now. The primary consequence of vitamin D deficiency is impaired bone mineralization, manifesting as rickets in young children or osteomalacia in adults or adolescents. Sorry, osteomalacia, loss of bone strength and integrity. Oral impacts of the deficiency of vitamin D include a form of amelogenesis imperfecta during tooth development, alterations in dentin leading to dentogenesis imperfecta and ectodermal dysplasia. Vitamin D deficiency can also trigger decreased bone mineral density, leading to jaw bone resorption. You ever hear how people have to have a post put in to have a new teeth put on as implants? You ever heard about dentists having to put in, or oral surgeon having to put in, cadaver bone to remineralize the jaw because there's jawbone resorption? That's what they're referencing there. Now, this is an x-ray actually of the mouth, obviously. You see the teeth and the silver fillings, mercury fillings. The jawbone on the bottom is what they're showing you here. This is jawbone resorption. Reduction in bone density of the jaw. Bone on an x-ray should be completely white. You will see on the bottom teeth, look below there in that little just haze of an area. It's very black and white. That is low bone density of the jawbone. Amelogenesis imperfecta affecting enamel can be linked to deficiencies in vitamins A and D or genetic factors, presenting as discoloration and structural alterations of your teeth. This condition not only alters the appearance, but also increases sensitivity and caries risk, infections risk. Vitamin D supplementation is globally recognized for its role in preventing rickets during infancy. The developmental stages of fetal teeth are vitamin D dependent. Your baby's teeth needs vitamin D in utero and after they're born, suggesting that maternal vitamin D status during pregnancy influences how healthy and strong your teeth are. Recent research suggests that vitamin D supplementation can prevent the onset and progression of dental caries. High-dose vitamin D supplementation during pregnancy has been associated with a reduced risk of enamel defects in newborns, underscoring its preventative role against enamel deficiency. Yes, vitamin D. Pregnant mamas. Vitamin D also plays a crucial role in the immune system, with optimal levels linked to lower chances of dental caries. Well, hold on. If vitamin D levels are important in children and can prevent oral infections, what do you think that means for all the infections you're being vaccinated for your children and being recommended to do for your children? Vitamin D, I repeat, also plays a crucial role in your immune system, not just to fight infections in your mouth, but your whole body. Adequate vitamin D intake can mitigate gingivitis risks, or it can reduce bacteria and gingival inflammation thanks to its immunosuppressive and anti-inflammatory properties, which are important for preventing infections in the oral cavity and initiating cell death called cell apoptosis. Now they're going to talk, that's vitamin A, vitamin D. Now they're going to talk about vitamin B complexes. While deficiencies in the B group of vitamins are uncommon in children, they say deficiencies can impact the immune system, your cardiovascular health, and nervous system. Thiamine, known as vitamin B1, is essential for energy production, nerve impulse transmission, and the maintenance of the myelin sheath. ALS, anybody? And Alzheimer's. Severe deficiency can lead to diseases such as beriberi and Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome. Y'all can look those up. Riboflavin is known as vitamin B2, is a key for energy metabolism and is found in high concentrations in yeast extracts, organ meats, wheat bran, milk products, eggs, and meat. Oral health can be significantly affected by deficiencies in vitamin B1 and B2, leading to conditions such as reoccurring ulcers, glossitis, and angular chelitis. See a little ulcer on the right side of the face here? Angular chelitis due to hypervitaminosis, hypo, meaning low vitamin B2. These deficiencies may also impair postnatal amelogenesis, resulting in enamel hypomineralization, low amounts of enamel. Glossitis is the tongue, characterized by inflammation and changes in the tongue's appearance and texture, can also result from vitamin B1 and B2 deficiencies. you see teeth marks in the teeth, peeling what looks like of your tongue, you're vitamin B1 and B2 deficient. Now, niacin is known as vitamin B3. Results, if you have a deficiency of that, in what's called pellagra or pellagra, characterized by dermatological manifestation. Pellagra is identified by dermatitis, inflammation of the skin, glossitis, inflammation of your tongue, unpleasant breath odor due to bacterial growth or dry mouth, chelitis, and RAS. Pantothenic acid or vitamin B5 deficiency often occurs in those who are highly physically active, such as athletes. You actually lose that in your sweat. It's one of the things I put in our Hydrate Complete, or suffer from severe undernutrition. B5, known as pantothenic acid, plays a significant role in managing dry mucosal conditions in your mouth, including cirrhosis and chelitis, with its deficiency leading to similar oral complications observed with other B vitamins. Vitamin B6, called pyridoxine, is essential for embryonic development and early childhood. It's definitely in every prenatal vitamin. Oral symptoms in children due to B6 deficiency, called pyridoxine, encompass angular chelitis, glossitis, inflammation of your tongue, RAS, and halitosis, bad breath. Immune system decline may also precipitate fungal infections in the oral cavity, akin to those seen with vitamin A shortages. There's the tongue, called glossitis. You see the redness there? Then you have vitamin B7, which is called biotin. Most people know for hair and nails. Biotin deficiency symptoms include dermatitis, inflammation of the skin, hair loss, anemia, depressive symptoms, vomiting, and nail inflammation. In children, it may lead to conjunctivitis, pink eye. Did you know that? Vitamin B7 deficiency can lead to pink eye, ataxia, inability to have a normal gait and walk, developmental delays, muscle weakness, paralysis, being paralyzed. Did you know vitamin B7 deficiency leads to paralysis and vision issues? Oral candidiasis, oral infections of the mouth from fungus caused by candida albicans, is a very notable symptom of B7 or biotin deficiency, and it presents as white patches within your oral cavity that can hinder swallowing. Vitamin B12 deficiency can lead to permanent fatigue, significantly impacting intellectual and neurological development. Vitamin B12 deficiency is reported in 10 to 50% of women of childbearing age and pregnant women globally. Newborns might not show symptoms at birth, but can develop significantly, potentially irreversible, multi-systemic issues, including developmental delays later in infancy if mom is deficient in vitamin B12. The Croatian Pediatric Society advocates for B12 supplementation among breastfeeding vegan mothers, emphasizing its necessity for preventing anemia and its oral manifestations such as mucosal pallor, anemic gingivitis, glossitis, inflammation of your tongue, dry mouth, and taste alterations in vegan children. Now, these are oral manifestations of vitamin C deficiency. Vitamin C is also crucial for immune function, with a noted increase in infection susceptibility in deficient individuals. If you're low in vitamin C, you're definitely going to get sick more often. It is even considered for adjunctive sepsis therapy. Yeah, if you've got sepsis, you should be on vitamin C. Signs of deficiency of vitamin C typically emerge after 30 to 90 days of inadequate intake. When it comes to oral signs of vitamin C deficiency, they're particularly indicative of scurvy, though gingival overgrowth can also suggest other conditions necessitating careful differential diagnosis. Doctors, as mentioned in scurvy, gums become swollen, tender, and bleed easily, which leads to tooth loss and secondary infections as wounds heal poorly. You got bleeding gums, tooth loss issues, bleeding when you brush your teeth, you're vitamin C deficient. Vitamin C supplementation can alleviate gingival inflammation by enhancing collagen stabilization and reducing bleeding and inflammation for the gums or the cheeks or the mouth or the lips. Deficiency may also predispose children to fungal infections of the oral mouth and xerostomia due to decreased salivary secretion. What you produce in your saliva helps fight infections. Furthermore, vitamin C is beneficial in managing oxidative stress associated with periodontal diseases. It's the body's response to bacterial toxins, causing mucosal damage and gingivitis and periodontitis. We talked about propolis earlier. This is our propolis throw spray. This is for adults and children alike, but it's mint flavor. We also do have two throat sprays that are all naturally flavored for children. One's called grape flavor, and the other one is Tutti Frutti. These are those. Go to the Dr. Artist Show and get them. And your children should be brushing their teeth and spraying this into their mouth every day. So should your mom, dad, loved one, spouse, you, yourself. Or go get propolis. That just happens to be in a convenient throat spray that I use every day, and my wife too. Just for transparency, I actually use the Tutti Frutti every day, although the mint one's good too. All right, this is vitamin D3 and K2 suspended in organic MCT oil. Remember, high dose vitamin D and K2 for bone health, dental health. Magnesium complex. We reviewed magnesium's impact on preventing gingivitis, infections. And here's our multivitamin, and we highlighted on the screen. Each of the B vitamins we just showed you are healthy for preventing oral issues or dental infections of any kind, even in children. These are our sugar-free multivitamin gummies, sweetened with allulose, which actually kicks up GLP-1 hormone release. You'll also see vitamin A, C, and D3 inside of our multivitamin gummies. Now, for everybody out there, if you have cavities, you have breaks, fractures in your mouth, I just want you to know, I have actually recommended this product from Standard Process. You can get it online at Amazon.com if you'd like. It's called Biodent. Now, we've talked a lot here about Dr. Weston A. Price. Dr. Weston A. Price had a dear friend named Dr. Royal Lee. And Dr. Royal Lee and Dr. Weston A. Price separately created their own foundations, organizations, and set up labs and researched human health, dental health related to nutrition. Weston A. Price Foundation, which you know about, was started by Dr. Weston A. Price. And then you've got Royal Lee started a company called Standard Process. He studied the soils of all throughout America, settled in Palmyra, Wisconsin, and launched a farm in the 1930s, 40s, 50s, 60s, wherever it was when he acquired it. But before that, he had invented this product called Biodent. Both Dr. Price and Dr. Royal Lee were both dentists, fascinated by dentists and dentistry and the connection of food to the health of the mouth of people around the world and cultures. Both Price and Lee traveled the world studying cultures, those that had the most local traditional dietary practices had the best oral health. No crowding of their teeth, which is why you see so many Americans need braces. That could all be prevented by having more nutrient-dense diets. This product is called Biodent. Dent being for teeth. It's all organic, but I would tell you this product is amazing. It was made to be a chewable by Dr. Royal Lee, but most people don't want to chew this. But you chew it. It was designed to be a chewable. Chew two in the morning, two in the evening, and you can almost prevent and reverse any small cavities, even large cavities over time. Biodent is phenomenal for periodontal disease issues and dental health issues. I just had to throw this in there. You can get it at Amazon.com or ask your healthcare provider about Biodent and how to use it. You can scan our QR code and be notified in the future. I hope this pays massive dividends for your paying attention to this podcast and presentation. This is our book, Moving Beyond the COVID-19 Lies. And in that book is chapter 14. And in chapter 14, I walk you through all the dental problems being caused by COVID, now called a long COVID diagnosable disease, periodontal issues, dental cavities, losing your teeth are all now long COVID problems. And what's the cure and fixes for those are in chapter 15. That's why this book is so valuable, I believe. If this was helpful to you, please go to the resources tab at the Dr. Artist Show, download this PowerPoint right now, and share it with those after you download it, email it out to give them to them. And then also I recommend following along here like this podcast where I walk you through the research and insert my own dialogue and narrative. My goal is to help you avoid unnecessary toxins in the dental chair, unnecessary procedures in the future. 13% of adults lose all their teeth in America. Come on, y'all. I'm Dr. Artist. This is the Dr. Artist Show. This is how to prevent the toxic effects of most dental practices and keep your teeth, remineralize your teeth using all natural substances. I'm Dr. Artist. God bless you. We'll see you next time on the Dr. Artist Show. Thanks for watching this week's episode. Visit thedrartistshow.com/follow for my official social media channels and free healing resources. Beware of fraud accounts. Neither I nor my company will ever ask you for money, crypto, or personal information through your social media or DMs. Like this video and share with a friend. And if you're not already, subscribe and follow along so you don't miss any updates from me, the only real Dr. Brian Artis. And remember, nature always wins.